I'm here today with Hannah Axelson from the Farm It Forward movement and Jacqueline Foster from the Blue Mountains Food Co-op. And today we're looking at the garden. Where would you say, what would you call this location?
The heart of Katoomba, I call it.
Okay, the heart of Katoomba. Yeah. So
it's actually on College Lane, this is called.
Right.
So it's behind or adjacent to the Blue Mountains Cultural Centre, just behind the Carrington Hotel.
Right. Oh, that's a good indicator. Yeah. People can find that very easily. And people have probably looked at this patch of dirt for years, because there was a number of years somebody was actually growing very abundant food in here with lots of dahlias and things. But now Farm It Forward has taken over the plot. So tell me about how all this happened.
Yeah, so for the last, I think, 20 to 25 years, there's been a few gardeners doing it together, a few shop owners on the same block of land, and an older man called Dave. And, yeah, he's done a great job over the years. And I remember walking by being like, wow, like three or four years ago, and so many flowers, lots of corn, he was just so
he had
great.
That look He's... of a good Italian gardener. Was he Italian?
I'm not sure,
because the garden looked like an Italian garden.
It did, yes. And he's still around, so you'll see him walking by. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's very happy that the space is being used. So pretty much the co-op approached the landlord, John, and to ask if we could garden, and he said yes. He's a very easygoing guy, and yeah, so then the co-op asked Farm It Forward if they could establish it and keep it running. We said yes, because I also work with Farm It Forward at different plots, and yeah, so it's been since July last year, so 2022, that's when we started it.
So you had a big blitz day, did you?
Yes.
Here in last year, last July. So this is only really 9 months old.
Yeah.
This plot.
Pretty
and
young.
Looking around here, there's how many beds? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 beds. 10 log beds, about 6 meters long each. Would they be maybe longer?
Probably longer.
12 yeah. metres each. And if you've been looking as you walk to the Carrington or walk into the cultural centre, you'll see that they're long skinny beds, and they've had some little coverings, white coverings. But tell me about the day when it was all pulled together. How many people came here to volunteer and pull that together?
About 60 people came that day, which was amazing because it was in the middle of winter and it was raining, and we were
like it is now.
Like it is now. And we were not expecting that many people to show up, so it was
wow.
so wonderful. It was so surprising. We were all so happy about it.
How did you find that many people? Was that through Facebook or Farm It Forward or through the co-op?
Yeah,
or
the co-op did a big shout-out, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so many people were keen to, you know, get their hands in the soil and help out and, you know, grow food locally. I think that's the enthusiasm is for that.
Yeah, it's a real climate action, isn't it, to grow food locally, to save the food miles. Mm. When I was talking to the people at the Central Coast Edible Garden Trail, they were talking about the fact that we were going through that time when lettuces were $12 each.
Yes.
And up in the Central Coast there was an abundance of lettuces. Mm. You know, just step out in the garden or the various permaculture gardens, all for less than $2 or free because they'd grown them themselves. So it is a real climate action,
yeah,
you know, save the food miles.
Definitely.
It's amazing because, you know, the co-op's, you know, a couple of hundred yards down the street, really, so you can't get much more local than that.
That's definitely a saving on food miles.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
On that day, you must have had a lot of equipment or stuff delivered. What did you have here that people worked with?
Mm.
So thinking of the ground up, there was cardboard?
So there's a lot of cardboard. I had 3 loads of cardboard in my van, which wasn't actually enough. So on the day, amazing volunteers went to different businesses to get more cardboard constantly throughout the day,
right,
which is pretty funny. And then, yeah, so we put cardboard down, and I had a couple of cubic meters of mushroom compost delivered and a couple of cubes of mulch, and just from a local arborist, and pretty much, yeah, 2 or 3 wheelbarrows, lots of shovels, lots of rakes, because it was in a bit of a shambles.
It was weedy, wasn't it?
It was very weedy. There were lots of raised beds, like, everywhere. And so we had to dismantle everything, which was pretty hard, to be honest. Lots of heavy materials, so lots of
sleepers and things like that.
Sleepers, lots of bricks. There's a huge pile of bricks still there, which was pretty challenging. But people were so energetic and keen, so it just got done really quickly, to my surprise.
It would have been a really great team feeling, would
yes,
it? The people digging in the dirt and talking and sharing the experience and learning how to do a no-dig garden.
Yes.
Which is what, you were going straight on top of the weeds with a cardboard, weren't you?
Yeah, straight on top.
How thick a layer of cardboard?
Well, just a one layer. Ideally, 2 layers would be best, but...
Overlapping?
Yeah, lots of overlapping, definitely. You just want to suppress the weeds as much as possible. And they are still coming up because every new garden, the weeds are, very rampant at the start. So over time, the weeds will become less and less, which will be good.
So then you've got one layer or maybe 2 layers of cardboard on top of the weeds. How thick was the mushroom compost and how thick was the mulch?
Mushroom compost, probably about 20 centimetres thick.
It's quite a lot, isn't
it?
So 2 cubic meters was enough for this whole garden, was it?
Sorry, not two. I don't know why.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, no, it was a lot more than that. I think I have 2 in my mind because I recently got 2.
It looks like it would have been about 20.
No, it would have been, I think it was like 7 to 8.
Okay.
Yeah, from my memory.
So yeah, about 20 point. Centimeters.
Yes.
And then how thick was the mulch on top of that?
So the mulch was just for the paths. Not for the beds.
Oh, okay.
The beds are just mushroom compost at the moment.
Right.
So the mulch went straight in the paths to suppress those weeds. And that doesn't have to be thick, maybe 5 to 10 centimetres.
Right. Okay. And the beds are what, 30 centimetres wide, 40 centimetres
wide? Oh, they are 75 centimetres wide.
Oh, okay.
And the paths are roughly 35 centimetres.
Okay. Yeah. And then you put down pipes, a watering system as well, I can see.
Yeah, so this is...
And every bed?
Yeah, every bed has a drip irrigation, which you can find from Bunnings, but we get it from Western Water Supplies. And so that's a lot of effort, actually. Lots of time setting that up.
Is it on an automatic timer or
Yes, there's a timer just around here, and that's very helpful because... That means I don't have to come every day.
Right, okay. And on a day like this when it's raining, does it automatically turn itself off or does it still drip?
No, I have to turn it off.
You have to come on up.
Yeah, I have to adjust it. There are timers that exist that sense the rain, but they're very expensive.
Right. And so now, this is for our listeners who want to buy food that's grown within 100 metres of where they buy it. What have you got growing at the moment that people can actually go down to the co-op and buy?
Well, at the moment, I did a harvest this morning, including Cavlanera kale, some chard, coriander, cos lettuce, a couple of bok choy, and lots of parsley. I think I overdid the parsley, so there's a lot of parsley at the moment.
Oh, well, they can make tabbouleh.
Yes.
It's wonderful for tabbouleh. Scrambled eggs.
Yes, everything.
Every garden should have a lot of parsley because then you've got your iron delivered daily.
Yes, and vitamin C.
Yes. So anyone
and
coming...
tabbouleh.
Yes. Anyone coming to the co-op today, come... What time would you deliver this to the co-op?
On Mondays, I usually deliver around 10 a.m. So
okay.
I'm a bit late today.
Because we're here.
And Thursdays, the same time, around 10 a.m.
Oh, actually, I'll be playing this next week. So sorry, listeners. still go down to the co-op on a Monday at 10 o'clock, but it'll be a different harvest next week. It'll probably also be lettuces.
I think it'll be
kale.
The same.
Oh, okay.
Much the same, yeah.
And so if you go 10 or just soon after 10, it'll still be jumping out of the soil. It'll still be so alive.
Yeah.
And it's so that flavour of things straight from the garden that just can't be beaten.
Yeah, so, and I've also got some pumpkins and eggplants and tomatoes and basil that's coming along.
Well, I can see the pumpkin, right? Basil, you're managing to grow through the heat, although this is a bit of an odd
there's
summer.
Basil, it's, I think it's going quite well.
So here we've got little baby basil plants. They look a few weeks away from harvesting.
Yes, a few weeks. They're... Just put them in last week.
Okay, they're looking pretty good. So where do you get your seedlings? Do you grow them from seed?
No, unfortunately, not at the moment. We feel we're at capacity with time. So we get them from patio plants. They're down near Leppington.
They also come up to the Blackheath markets, don't they? Patio plants. Yeah.
And also Springwood markets.
Yes.
Yeah, their seedlings are wonderful.
They are, aren't they? I never have any problems with their seedlings. And you look as if you've got, is that carrot over there that I can see beyond the basil?
No, that is parsley.
Oh, that's parsley.
Lots of parsley.
That's Italian parsley.
Yeah.
Right, and then you've got more kale. For people who like kale, there's plenty of kale. I'm afraid I'm not a kale lover, so...
We'll have to check out the co-op website for some kale recipes and you might...
Might change my mind, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah. Right. Very good for you.
I know, that's the trouble. And it grows so fast.
That's the trouble.
When I look at yours here, you've got some that are...
I just love how prehistoric it looks when it starts, you know, growing into a tree like this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you can keep it growing. I've seen in some gardens that it's actually grown into a tree and they just keep chopping off the leaves forever.
They can really last a long time.
Yeah. So then beyond the parsley, you've got more kale, more lettuces. Obviously, a lot of lovely lettuces growing. Mm. And more kale, coriander, spinach. What delicious looking spinach. Do you need to get under my umbrella?
Yeah.
I don't want to poke your eye out. That's taller than me, so.
Do you want me to hold it?
Okay, yes, what a good idea.
So it's interesting, actually. I don't know if people find this interesting, but the chard, I asked the co-op what type of chard they like, because there's rainbow chard or there's just the regular green silver beet. Mm. And apparently the rainbow chard doesn't sell as well at the co-op. So,
I wonder why that would be.
I have no idea.
People haven't learned how to cook it. Just cook it the same as spinach, don't you?
Yeah, well, it's the same plant. So, but that's good for me because I just ask the co-op regularly what sells best and then I'll plant that type of variety of the vegetable, which is nice.
So there's no waste.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So if you've just joined us on Radio Blue Mountains, I'm talking to Jack from the co-op and Hannah from Farm It Forward, and we're standing here in the rain looking at the garden that you might have spotted behind the cultural centre, between the cultural centre and the Carrington Hotel. So hang over the fence from time to time as you come past and then run down to the co-op and buy the fresh produce. So do you go down and take it to the co-op every day or just Mondays?
Just Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay.
Yeah, I deliver it.
Right.
And hopefully in the future we'll be running some workshops here. We're going to try and get a bit of a workshop space happening, a garden shed, some of the things that, you know, Hannah's been struggling with out for a while, even a table. We have water here, luckily.
Yes.
So that's one good thing. But, you know, maybe a worm farm, some composting, rainwater tank. And really, you know, make the place somewhere where people can come in and learn about growing vegetables as well as just being able to buy them from the co-op.
Yes, because people like to be, that's what we learned from the Edible Garden Trail, they like to be on site, seeing the stuff grow. At the first Edible Garden Trail, we had a number of workshops and they just didn't attract people. People wanted to be there on the spot and say, how did you grow that? You know, how does the compost work? Or what do you put in your compost? And people would demonstrate it. So it works so much more effectively than just a workshop where people are being told or lectured to. Come around, they can come here and walk around and probably put their hands in the dirt and pick a couple of things. So now that it's up and running, how much time does it take to keep this garden going?
So I work about 12 hours a week on this plot, which has been fine for summer. And it would take less in winter. So I have volunteers come most Thursdays from the co-op. And if you do want to volunteer, just go to the co-op and talk to them about signing up.
Yeah, if you're already a volunteer at the co-op, you can definitely come along. Otherwise, join up, all volunteers. who do volunteer work for the co-op get a 20% discount on their purchases. So it's also beneficial.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus you get to learn stuff and be in this gorgeous patch.
And then you probably get to take some fresh produce home.
Do the
volunteers on the day get some stuff to take home?
Yes, they do.
Definitely.
Well, they couldn't get much fresher than that, could they? And then this will be probably harvested over summer. What would you do, plant through winter, or would you leave it fallow?
No, I'm planning actually to plant a lot in winter because, brassicas just go really well in Katoomba because they actually grow better in the cold. So I'm planning to do cabbages, cauliflowers, leeks, more kale, more chard, parsley, coriander, lettuce.
Brussels sprouts?
Not sure about Brussels sprouts. Did they sell well?
I'm a big fan of Brussels sprouts. I'd love some local ones.
Yeah, I love them too.
We might do a bit of a poll if anyone...
Yeah. I like Brussels sprouts, especially when they're fresh from the garden. They're quite different than if they've been, you get them from the supermarket and have been hanging around for a week, 2 weeks.
Just roasted with balsamic and garlic.
So good.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. Yes. perfect winter comfort food, I think.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about how to do something, what's your favourite way of doing kale so that someone like me who hates kale might find it palatable?
I love to make a minestrone soup and put chopped kale into that. It's really,
Okay. Mm. I did have a friend who baked it, rubbed it with garlic and olive oil, baked it and made it into like a crisp.
That's what I do. That's my favourite. Yeah.
Okay. Does it get rid of the kale flavour? You get a garlic flavour.
And salt. Just add salt.
Just add salt. Okay. Lots of salt. So what are your pumpkins that I'm looking at are quite small. How long are they going to take to get to fruition?
Oh, I'm not sure. It depends how much more sun we get. But a lovely volunteer actually donated those seedlings. Mm. And they are I can't remember the variety. They're a smaller type.
Right, okay.
But I reckon another month. Usually March, would be the time that they're pumping.
Okay. Yeah. Can I see some tomatoes up there?
Yes, just a few tomato plants.
Tiny Tim, are they the little ones?
A volunteer brought them, actually, and I wasn't here, so I missed what they are, so we'll have to wait and see. I think they're Roma.
Oh. Wait and see. This is a wait and see patch.
Yes, there's a lot of that.
One of the things that you wait and see and then you see with great distress is the pests coming in.
Yes.
How do you keep your pests out?
So we've got a lot of netting here, which isn't great to look at, I know, but if we didn't have it, the white cabbage moth would be everywhere on the kale at the moment. So it really keeps the moth off, and actually, in my opinion, keeps slugs off. Not everything. There's obviously still slugs on the lettuce, but when I put a seedling in, there's less slugs attacking it. And what I hear from people passing by, a lot of people stop and ask questions. All of the backyard growers are struggling with slugs at the moment when they put a seed in or a seedling. They just disappear the next day. And I actually find that hasn't happened at all here. And I think it's the nets that are held down by bricks, which is a bit of a challenge. But because they're quite secure, I feel like the slugs aren't getting in as much.
Right. You don't give them a little drink of beer and hope they drown happily?
drown happily.
Yeah, well, I've drowned a few big fat slugs in my lettuce patch, but I keep running out of beer. The only reason I have beer is when a guest comes and they don't drink their own beer, because I never buy beer.
That's an expensive way to deal with it, I think.
Probably. Yeah.
There seems to have been a lot of white butterflies around the cabbage moth this summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot more in Hazelbrook and Lawson than Katoomba, which is good. It's very interesting at the moment. The kale up here is just so much better than kale down the mountain. Because, like I said before, brassicas just do so much better in colder climates. Yeah. Right. So it's really nice to see that.
And I think the white netting probably frightens away the white butterflies.
Yeah,
they think
point.
There's a tribe already there, so they're not going to come.
That's a good point. So the other pest is not really a pest, humans.
Did they come in and raid?
So a few people, not much, just a little bit, a few people have come by and told me they've helped themselves.
Okay.
Maybe two people. I like how they admitted it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And then did you invite them to come and help? I mean, that would be a way to manage.
Yes.
You know, that would be a fair exchange.
Yes. And the teenagers walk by and sometimes throw water balloons and rubbish in the plot, which is lovely.
Yeah. Well, I guess they haven't got enough to entertain themselves.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Now, what else can you share with our listeners that you think they should know about this plot? First of all, they need to come on a Thursday and help.
Yes.
At what time?
So I'm here from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m.
So any time during that time?
Any time during that time on the Thursday morning.
Yeah. And so how much time do they have to put in to get this 20% discount?
Generally, a volunteer shift is 2 hours. We do volunteer training, I think, once a month. So if anyone wants to find out about volunteering at the co-op, if they go onto the co-op website, which is bmfoodcoop.org.au, or give us a call on 478-25890, or jump on our socials at bmfoodcoop. That's it.
Right.
or pop into the shop and ask. And, we can tell you all about it. And then you can come up and have a look at the plot and find out about volunteering.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you both for joining Radio Blue Mountains. Mm. And hopefully you'll get a whole lot of more volunteers. Mm. But particularly, hopefully, you get people down at the co-op buying this fresh stuff, including me. I'm going back down now to get it. Oh, no, I've got lettuce growing. I don't need it. So thanks very much, Hannah and Jacqueline.
Thanks, Suzanne.